Welcome to the jungle. Game on, yo. You might wonder why I said something really cheesy like that. I'll tell you. My name is Jim Rome. Welcome to the show. The show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so it is me. It is Hawk. It is Ike. That's it. What could go wrong? Ike just hit me with, well, understand this. When Alvin is here, Alvin generally will say, Quicken Loans, O'Reilly Live Read, you're on. And it's the same thing like day after day, year after year. Like I already know what Alvin's going to say before he says it. So Alvin is not in studio today, but Ike is. Ike keys in with, okay, game on. I'm like, bro, did you just say game on? Did you just game on me? You trying to inspire me? You trying to motivate me? You trying to let me know what's up? Come on, Ike. Game on. Who is that for, you or me? All right, bro. Stop talking. Stop gaming on me. Just push the two buttons. The one that gets me in, the one that gets me out. 1-800-636-8686. I've already had a good day. What with Ike hitting me with a game on? I had a producer back in the day. And he would start every show with like, all right, let's have a great show. Let's have a great show. Yeah, let's do that. Game on. If there's any of you that want to volunteer any other phrases that I can work in to share with me, hit me up right now. The bar has been set at game on. All right, once again, the telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. You can also follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, haveatake.com. I've been hammering that every single day, but more so now than ever before, because there are more people at home than ever before. And in fact, I want to talk about what it's like at home, because what's sort of interesting is my Rona, quote-unquote, Rona routine has not changed that dramatically. I'm really lucky. Not only do I get to go to work, which is great, but I get to go to work, which is great. So my Rona routine is very similar to what it's been. I don't get to do everything that I normally do, and the people around me are not doing everything they would normally do, but I still get to come in and do the show every single day. I know that's not the case for a lot of you. So I'm curious about your Rona routine. What are your days like? And keep in mind, game on! The show is on. All right, so I want to get into all that later on. Coming up later on in hour number one, a good old friend, Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe columnist. I love Dan Shaughnessy. Haven't run him down in quite some time, so we'll put him up. That's coming up at 40 past. Second hour is open, and the third hour is filling up. I've got Mark Stein, a New York Times NBA writer, and CJ McCollum is going to close the show. Trailblazers shooting guard. Telephone number is toll-free. Use it. You know why? Game on! 1-800-636-8686. Start dialing. I've got episode 124 of the Jim Rome Podcast live. Tony Hawk. I want to give you a preview of that. And do me a favor, do not listen to that in its entirety until after the program. I mean, you got nothing but time on your hands, right? So use the show, and then when the show is over, you can run through that. But I'll give you a preview of Tony Hawk. Really good conversation with him. All right, in the meantime, you know where to find me. One quick tweet off the very top. Izzy Drum today at Jim Rome. Quote, I'm missing baseball. I'm sure most of us are. Is there any way we could get a little Scott Stapp on today's show? Hey, Garrett, hit it. Ike didn't even need to wait to be told. There you go. That helped. Little Stapp for you. One thing missing is Stapp singing, game on. All right. Since the game is on, why don't we start? So for about 20 years now, Tom Brady. Hey, Ike, you got to roll with that, man. You're fine. So far, so good. Game on, old man. For 20 years, dude hit me with game on. Ike, you're like 90, and I've done this for like 30 years, man. I understand that the game is on. I'm in here every single day in the same box, Ike, at 06. I know the game is on. But thanks for letting me know. Ike's the best. All right, so for 20 years now, Tom Brady has said just about nothing about anything at all. He went out of his way to say as little as possible when there was a microphone in his face. And for a good chunk of that time, he was pretty quiet on social media as well. But then he started to reveal more and more on social media. Then he became a free agent. And then you couldn't shut this guy up. Then he started making as much noise as possible. And now that he's out of New England, he's practically fighting to get in front of a microphone. In the past few days alone, Brady has done a Players Tribune piece that's like a million words long. And now, a two-hour interview with Howard Stern. And if you thought that an appearance on Stern meant that he was going to completely unload on Billy, Bobby, and the Pats for how they treated him, go ahead and rethink that one.
So many wrong assumptions were made about our relationship or about how he felt about me. I know genuinely how he feels about me. Now, I'm not going to respond to every rumor or assumption that's made other than what his responsibility as coach is to try to get the best player for the team, not only in the short term, but in the long term as well. So what I could control was trying to be the best I could be in both of those situations also. So I got to a point where I was old. I was an older athlete, and he started to plan for the future, which is right. What his responsibility is. And I don't fault him for that. I mean, that's what he should be doing. That's what every coach should be doing. Not that I would ever coach, but, you know, if I'm ever in a position of authority, I would understand that too.
Now, what that guy really needed before that interview was Ike to get in his face with a game on. That is a remarkable non-answer, even for TB43. And I always love that move that includes this. Now, I'm not going to respond to every rumor or assumption that's made. And then you proceed to not respond to any rumor or assumption that has been made. You just blow right on by, and you don't say or respond to Jack. I mean, that was a chance where Brady could have really unloaded on Belichick, but didn't. And clearly he doesn't want to, for whatever reason. Maybe it's because he genuinely feels like Belichick is not the bad guy here. Or maybe it's just because he does not want to air it out in public. And he didn't really seem to want to get into whether or not he thought that he deserves more respect from Billy and Bobby for what he had done.
Again, I can't do his job and he can't do mine.
Right.
So the fact that you could say, would I be successful without him, the same level of success, I don't believe I would have been. But I feel the same and vice versa as well.
But Tom, isn't there some resentment on your part that he didn't make you a patriot for life?
No, absolutely not. No, because this is a part for me in my life to experience something very different.
Here's the thing. I mean, it is tough to get a read on Brady when it comes to Belichick and their relationship. Obviously, it's a complicated relationship. But Brady is not going to let you inside that relationship. Not very much. So what's the point of putting yourself out there the way he is if you're not going to say anything at all? I mean, it would seem like doing a mini media tour is about getting your side of the story out there. It's about you controlling the narrative, you know, as well as promoting yourself and your brand and this new phase of your career. But exactly what is his side of the story? Again, this guy's not saying anything. What it seems to me is it's like he's framing things and he's being respectful of Belichick, but it's nothing but love and respect, right? Well, let me ask you this, Tom. If it's nothing but love and respect, the hell are you doing in Tampa? If it's all respect, why aren't you still in New England? And what about all the reports in recent months and recent years about how strained that relationship was? So which is it exactly? Is it a totally respectful parting of the ways? Or was Brady really bent about the fact that Belichick would not commit to him in the form of the multi-year extension that he wanted? Because Brady says it's the former, but there's a lot of smoke that it was the latter. Oh, and speaking of smoke, there was the revelation that Brady drank and he smoked weed in high school. There was that. But is it really a revelation? Quote, what kept me from smoking a lot of weed, obviously, in high school. You try that, and you drink, and you go to parties. But I always felt like I was letting my dad down. He went on, quote, I definitely had fun in high school with partying and drinking and smoking weed on occasion. But as it got later in my high school life, those became less and less, end quote. I mean, I guess that's something. It shows that he hasn't been a cyborg his entire life. That dude was not going to Baskin-Robbins in high school and asking if they had avocado ice cream. That when all the other kids were baking in high school, Tommy was, well, baking in high school. At least for a minute or two. I mean, damn, what a wild man. Homeboy really did get loose. Yeah, not really. Then again, you don't chop it up for 2 hours with Howard Stern and not answer any questions. Because Howard's not having that. And while he didn't admit to any strain in his relationship with the hood, Tommy did admit to a strain in his relationship with his wife. You know, because of the long hours, the resistance bands, the avocado ice cream, the avoidance of nightshades, and probably that guy Alex rubbing all that lotion on his legs. The fact that he was all in during the football season, and then once it ended, he was all in on his off-the-field businesses. The fact that he was being a pretty selfish dude, and Giselle was not having that.
You know, she didn't feel like I was doing my part for the family, you know, and she felt like I would play football all season, and she would take care of the house, and then all of a sudden when the season would end, I'd be like, great, let me get into all my other business activities, let me get into, you know, my football training, and she's sitting there going, well, when are you going to do things for the house? When are you going to take the kids to school and do that? Right. And that was a big part of our marriage that I had to, like, check myself, because she's like, I have goals and dreams, too. It's just not to, you know, do these things either. So you better start, you know, taking care of things at the house. So 2 years ago, as it related to even football for me, I had to make a big transition in my life to say, I can't do all the things that I wanted to do for football like I used to. You know, I got to take care of things in my family, because my family, the situation wasn't great. She wasn't satisfied with our marriage.
Damn, like, I got to stop wearing my recovery performance jammies. Like, wow, I might have to eat a tomato. I mean, I guess that's something, sort of. As much as a wife telling a husband, you're not keeping up your end of the bargain, do better or hit the bricks. I mean, not that that's some sort of crazy revelation. Did anybody really think that Tommy was taking the kids to school and doing the dishes? I mean, this dude is all ball, all day, except when he's trying to convince everybody that drinking water prevents sunburn. And of course she was pissed. And then there was the admission that he did not throw to some guys that he did not trust.
I would say I don't have any trust that this guy can, you know, help us, you know, win the game. I mean, I can definitely express my opinion to say, if you put him out there, I'm not going to throw him the ball. Because I don't, right. You know, the whole team is trusting me to do what's right by the team. So you can't put someone out there that I don't believe in, because if I don't believe in them, then it's worthless for the team.
Oh, shut it down. Let's go home. He went there. If he didn't trust you, you weren't getting the ball. You know, again, for Brady, that sounds like some kind of crazy revelation. He just admitted if he didn't trust you, he would not feed you. Damn, homeboy is ruthless. No, actually, a homeboy is like every other quarterback in the history of the world in that regard. They have guys that they trust to run the right route and make a catch. And they have guys that they don't trust. The guys that they do trust get the most looks. The guys that they don't, don't. It's pretty much how it is for every quarterback ever. However, there is one thing that did come out of the interview that we did not know. Something revelatory. And the fact is, he's got a nickname that we didn't know, a nickname that comes courtesy of Matt Cassel. Hey, by the way, did you know that Matt Cassel never started a game in college? Signed Jerome Bettis, is from Detroit. Anyway, Matt Cassel never starting a game in college is now the second most important fact about Matt Cassel, because the most important fact about Cassel is he is the one who glossed Tom Brady the following. Now, when it comes He comes from a game in 06 when Brady suffered what was ultimately diagnosed as a sports hernia. Quote, go ahead.
Testicles were like, literally like one side was like, I would say like an orange.
Oh.
And then the other side was normal. And I was like, something's wrong here.
You think, Dr. Brady, something's wrong here. Let me just jump in there. What was your first hint? The fact that one testy was normal and the other was the size of an orange? Art Modell thinks you ought to get that checked out, Tom. As you might imagine, the fellas in the locker room were not about to let that go.
My backup quarterback, Matt Castle, drew pictures of me like with this one huge testicle on one side. And then he would leave them in my locker every day. Purple balls, he called me because I got all bruised up. And it was that hurt. That was a really tough injury.
And that right there was the best moment of the entire interview. And again, that's not Howard's fault. Howard Stern is the GOAT, as evidence that he got this guy to sit down for 2 hours with him. But I always say it, when y'all come in here sometimes and say, hey, Rome, that was an amazing interview. There are no amazing interviews, just amazing interview subjects. Those are the times I don't have to do anything at all but throw up a few lobs and let insert person with crazy fit start throwing them down. No amazing interviews, just amazing interviewees. And Brady is not one of them. The best interviews I do is when I talk to the say-nothings that don't want to be here, and I stay in the fight for 10 minutes trying to coax something good out of them. That's an amazing interview. So nothing ever lives up to the hype, especially all the hype that went along with Brady, going on with Howard Stern. Again, Howard is the man. Nobody is better. But Howard can't both ask and answer the questions. And the most revelatory tidbit to come out of that was Brady has purple NAD. We didn't know that. And now we do. So we have that going for us, which is nice, I guess. Bruh, before you started talking, you were freaking James Dean, the coolest guy ever. The second you opened up that gap and reached for your phone, you became the most boring guy ever. All we ever wanted from any of these guys was to let us in. Now I wish that Brady had not, because he was a hell of a lot more interesting to me before he did. Because when this guy's lips are moving, he says nothing, which might be even worse than lying. Oh, and clones, did you notice? Notice what I did not bring up. Notice what I did not mention. Namely, Gronk's junk. And you know what Tom's response was, right? Quote, when asked about that, Tommy said, quote, it's exactly what you'd expect it to be.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Let's go ahead and keep moving. And I know you all have a fascination with the showers, so I will play you what Tom thinks about the locker room showers.
25 years ago, it was so natural to do that. And now the idea of a bunch of people showering together, you kind of think like, why are we still doing this? I mean, this is so not the way that it like should be anymore. Like, can we put up some dividers, please? And
yeah.
Then you go into locker rooms that are newer and they have those, and you're like, oh, this is so much more comfortable.
All right, so I got that out of the way for you, clones. Same as you ever were, clones. 1-800-636-8686. So if you're dying for this unbelievable content in this desert of no content, that interview is not going to be it. And again, not Howard's fault. Howard's great. Howard's still playing the game at a really high level. But again, he can't ask and answer the questions. 1-800-636-8686. Other topics today. We have ourselves a streak. I don't manufacture these things. I do not force these things. The beauty of the jungle streak is it's completely organic, and now we have a streak. A snake streak. 2 days in a row. That's coming up later on. In fact, I'm eager to get to that. I do want to talk to you about your Rona routine. My Rona routine is not that different. I know yours is. I'm really curious what it's like at home. That's coming up. I've got Dan Shaughnessy at 40 past. The second hour is wide open. Mark Stein in hour number 3. CJ McCollum coming up in hour number 3. Phone lines are open. Take advantage of them. So when your battery goes dead, everything could come to a stop. Do not take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge if your battery needs to be replaced. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or your truck at a guaranteed low price. So make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help make all of your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So when your car is not stopping the way it used to, O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies that you need to do that job right the first time. Right now, for a limited time, you can save 15% when you buy a set of Brake Best pads and two Brake Best rotors. Shop online or stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts. You're listening to the Jim Rome Show. Come on, Ike. Lighten up. He's like, all right, go. Like he's already beaten down. Game on, man. D-Rod the 925 tweets, that interview makes TB12 so relatable. Signed, Tiger. Reaction to Ike hitting me up with, game on. Pauly T. Wall, game on. Cool beans, let's rock and roll. At J.P. Emmett, cowboy up, didn't want any of that. Chris Raff 7, quote, break a leg. Troy Frazier tweets, you got this. Mike and LFK tweets, Ike is like the Frank Gore of radio. Wore getting up at 4 a.m. and eating Skittles and chocolate milk instead of black coffee and grapefruit with a side of fiber. Anybody else? Game on. 1-800-636-8686. Man, I can't wait to see what else is coming. There's got to be more. Has to be more of that. I know there is. I'm trying to find out. I've got Dan Shaughnessy coming up, which I know is going to be tremendous. Haven't run him down a bit, so that will be fun. In addition to that, hey, Ike, don't forget, play like a champion today, Ike. Dare to be great. Dare to soar. Shoot for the stars. Clear eyes. Full heart. Can't lose. Not dead, can't quit. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. Ike, failure is not an option. Pyramid for success. Dare to soar. That should handle pretty much all of them, Ike. Game on. That was great. Alvin, are you taking notes? I expect motivational tidbits going into and out of breaks when you return, Alvin, wherever you are. All right, we will come back. And when we do, Dan Shaughnessy is going to join us. I want to get his thoughts on Tom Brady's final days in New England, what it looks like for the Pats going forward, and more. Longtime Boston Globe columnist. All-around amazing human being. Dan Shaughnessy coming up next. Phone lines are open after that. And a reset of a new streak. The Snake Streak enters its second day. All of that is still ahead.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You're in a...
Welcome back. Moving through hour number one. I am live. I am in Southern California. I am still in my SoCal studios. We are simulcast on CBS Sports Network. And you're listening to me on the radio as well. Nice to have you here. Remember, coming up in hour number three, I've got CJ McCollum of the Trailblazers, Mark Stein of the New York Times. But right now, we are joined by a sports columnist for the Boston Globe. He joined the Globe way back in 1981. He is the author of countless books. He is the recipient of countless awards. He is a JRIB legend. He is a very good friend of the program. He is Dan Shaughnessy. Dan, before we get into Tom Brady and everything else, I have to ask, how are you and your family doing in the middle of this pandemic, Dan?
Well, we're hunkering down, trying to stay on the right side of health. I've got a house of 11 people, five of them 3 years and younger, all grandchildren. So we're in close quarters. We're lucky we have room for them.
Dan, that is amazing. So what's that like, and especially what's it like having grandkids?
Well, it's great having grandkids, but it's literally a bleep show right now. I mean, there's just chaos, and there's six adults and five little kids, and it's three dogs and fighting for space. So my parents used to talk about this World War II, and I think that's some of the mentality that's come to America right now.
Quote, it's literally a bleep show. Dan Shaughnessy is joining us. All right, Dan, so it's been just over 3 weeks since Tom Brady announced that he was leaving New England on St. Patrick's Day. On the one hand, I think it would be easy to kind of look back and see the signs there for quite some time that indicated that he might bounce. But did you believe that he was going to leave, or was there a part of you that always thought that he and the Patriots would find a way to patch it up and that he would play out his final days with New England?
Yeah, I wrestle with that, Jim, because, like you say, he was always kind of timid about making that move and really, you know, sticking up for himself. All the signs were pointing to him leaving. It made sense. But I don't know, it just felt like it could be same old again. And, you know, they beat the Jets and the Dolphins and the Bills again, and here we go again. But I think that basically there was a plan. Belichick had a plan of succession, and Tom outlived it. So that happened, nobody's fault. And Belichick had no interest in committing 1 or even, or especially 2 years at big dough to a 43-year-old quarterback. And that was it. And Tom sensed that. He knew that. He read the tea leaves. And I went out and created a market and found Tampa to go do that.
When you talk about him creating a market, I want to follow up on that in a minute. But back in February, Dan, you wrote a piece which opened up with, I just want it to be over, and I'm officially hoping that Tom Brady leaves the Patriots, end quote. So lay that out for me. Why was that?
Well, so much, you know, I deal in stories, and this is a much better story. I mean, obviously the pandemic has changed everything, but it just absent that, it's better for us to, you know, see Tom, see what he can do in Tampa, see what Belichick can do without Brady. I mean, I'm sorry. Last year they were 12-4. It was very uninspiring, 12-4. I know that sounds, you know, greedy, but you knew they weren't going anywhere. I mean, every team that beat them finished ahead of them in the playoffs, and they were limited. And I just had no interest in seeing them, again, beat the Dolphins and the Jets once again, win the AFC East for the millionth straight year with a 43-year-old quarterback, and you knew they couldn't get to the next level. So I'm okay with kind of, you know, letting them start over, see what Bill can do with Stidham or go get somebody or whatever. And it's going to be fascinating to watch Brady in Tampa. I mean, I don't care. I know he's got new weapons there, but it's still Tampa, and it's going to create basically a second team in our market for people to watch.
Dan Shaughnessy is joining us. Now, when you mention it's still Tampa, you've also written, quote, with all due respect to my good pal Wade Boggs, Tampa is the worst. It is professional sports Siberia. It is Jacksonville with better gentlemen's clubs, end quote, which made me laugh out loud, Dan. Is Tom in Tampa because he wants to be in Tampa, or is he in Tampa because there were no other options?
I am down with the latter, Jim. I mean, remember Richard Gere, I got nowhere else to go? That's basically how I saw this, that no one could want to go voluntarily play there. And I know they've got, you know, good wide receivers, and the coach is really down with stuff Tom likes to do. But I'm sorry, it's the losingest franchise in the history of sports. They are, you know, numerically, they have the lowest winning percentage of any of the four sports. And there's no tradition. It's butt ugly. I mean, again, God bless the folks who live there and, you know, great beaches and all that stuff. But I really think that it's not a destination. If you could be in the NFL and be anywhere, it would be at the bottom with Jacksonville where you'd choose to go.
Dan Shaughnessy, no, God bless you, Dan. Dan Shaughnessy is my guest. So, Dan, how do you think he's going to do in Tampa?
I'm fascinated by this, Jim. I mean, you know, it's been a long, there's really never been the three-step drop, Marino, downfield game, over-the-top game. And, you know, I think Arians likes that, and there's probably some weapons there, but I mean, Tom was really protected here. They were good for each other. I mean, what Belichick was doing, the system they had, you know, a lot of just smart players on the team, great offensive line with Dante Scarnecchia coordinating. You know, Tom checking off at the line, the short passing game, throwing to the backs, yards after catch. that was really the skill set. And then, of course, Tom could do anything in the clutch, but he was changing the play a lot at the line and just outsmarting them, and they were beating people with their smarts. They were not beating with the cannon of his arm and his legs. I mean, it's limited what he can do, so I'm fascinated to see how this is going to play out, because in my view, the Patriots did as much or more for him as he did for them. I mean, he was great in the clutch and all that, but I kind of align myself with Belichick on the overall scheme, but we're going to find out.
We're talking to Dan Shaughnessy, so we are going to find out. Dan, that was my next point. How do you think the Patriots will do without Brady?
You know, the AFC East, I keep referencing just how bad. They're always reinventing themselves with the coaches and quarterbacks, and it's no different now. I know Buffalo had a good year last year, but that's a little bit of fool's gold in my view. I don't like the quarterback there. I think it's up for grabs, which I love that. I mean, the Pats have won it. I think it's 16 out of 17 years. I mean, really, it's like it's just, you know, it's like signing up for Facebook for them to win the AFC East, and I was sick of it, and it just didn't have any value for me. So now it's, like I said, it's a free for all. It's a jump ball, and let's see who can do it. I think it's a great challenge for Belichick.
Well, Dan, like you said, you deal in stories. This is a much better story than him just coming back and them winning 11 games and beating who they're supposed to beat, but not who they're not. So what about this? You know, in terms of stories, we are talking about a guy though who was up there with Bobby Orr, Ted Williams, Bill Russell, in terms of being a winner in Boston. So what's it like knowing that this guy's not going to run onto the field in Foxborough ever again, at least not as a starting quarterback there?
Well, we had it in our heads, you know, when they had that playoff game, you know, in January, and you saw, well, this could be it. You know, here comes Tennessee, and watching them lose, that might be the last time. So we've been kind of ready for it. But I got to say, like, even right now, like, you know, Tom gave that interview to Howard Stern yesterday, and it is just – It's ahead of the coronavirus stories in Boston, which has not happened in the last month. Nothing supersedes that. And when Tom left on March 17th, I mean, he is ratings gold. People really care about him. And like you say, in our Mount Rushmore, he's the football guy with Bill Russell and Ted Williams and Bobby Orr. And folks are really having a hard time adjusting to get, you know, getting their head around the idea that after 20 years, he's not going to be the quarterback of the Patriots. And it is a story that never goes away. And even with all that's going on, with our country coming to a standstill and all the frightening things that are happening, Tom Brady is still, like I said, ratings gold.
Dan Shaughnessy joining us. So what did you make of the interview? Did he say anything that piqued your interest? Anything that surprised you?
Well, I mean, he was talking about his marriage and the size of his testicles when he got hurt. And I mean, it was a lot of, you know, race relations and Donald Trump and stuff he would never touch here. I mean, he's been basically metaphorically chained to the radiator in Foxborough for the last 20 years. So that's gone now. So you're seeing stuff in the Players Tribune. You're seeing this. There'll be more Oprah and you know, just kind of the free fall questioning that he allowed yesterday. And I think that he really wants to ingratiate himself to the rest of America, which basically hates the Patriots. And he wants to sell the TB12 method. He wants to show he can play quarterback at the age of 43, 44, 45. And it's good for the brand. And I think this is all part of a campaign. And the notion that he's able to do it in the middle of a friggin' pandemic is amazing to me.
Dan Shaughnessy is joining us. There is nothing he has not seen in the last several decades in Boston. So, Dan, if you had to guess, or in your opinion, who is mostly responsible or the most responsible for his departure? And I'm not affixing blame. I'm just saying mostly responsible. Is it Tom? Is it Bill? Or is it Bob Kraft?
It's Bill. I mean, you know, and again, God bless Bob. Bob won't own that because he probably could have stepped in, but I'm glad he didn't. Let your coach be the coach. I think with the Garoppolo thing, that was not allowed, and Bill didn't get his way there. And I think in this instance that the owner wanted to keep Brady and would have overpaid for him and just embraced him and gone with his heart instead of his head. And I think he ceded to the coach in this instance, and I applaud that. So to me, it's just Belichick doing what he always does. You can go back to Lawyer Malloy, Logan Mankins, Teddy Bruschi, all of them. It never ends well here. Tom's dad predicted that 15 years ago. It didn't end well here. Everybody's taken the high road with that. But there's hard feelings, and there's people out to prove things to the other people.
You know, Dan, it might be hard for people to remember because of all the success the Patriots have had over the past few decades. But if we were to go back to when you first arrived at the Globe, what were the Patriots like back then?
Well, it's clown show up until, I mean, they had good teams with Fairbanks in the 70s. But it was not good here in the 80s and 90s. And, you know, you had the Rod Rust era and just some bad stuff. And Parcells really changed that in 94. They got instant credibility when James Orthwein hired Bill Parcells. And Parcells got him in a Super Bowl. And, of course, Kraft bought the team in the interim, was provided great ownership and deep pockets and local ownership. Drew Bledsoe, underrated, did a great job for him. And then all the stuff happened with Mo Lewis in 2001 and Tom ascending to position in an inadvertent fashion.
All right, so when you look back on his time with the Patriots, what kind of thoughts come to mind? Brady, I mean.
Jim, it's just crazy that we sit here, there were 9 Super Bowls, and I mean, I get them mixed up. I mean, they played in Houston twice, you know, and it just gets, was Carolina in Houston, or was Philly in Jacksonville, or was that in Minnesota? And you just go, you know, they played the Rams in 2 different incarnations. They played the St. Louis Rams and the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, it's like, it's nutty. I think that I look back, I mean, the best one is still 28-3, you know, February 2017 against the Falcons. They come back and win that game. That's the craziest one. But the Malcolm Butler game, you know, which was 2 years ahead of that, was stunning. I mean, the stupidest play call in pro sports history, Pete Carroll not giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch. And, you know, stuff like that would happen to them. The tuck play going back to 2002. Brady legitimately fumbled. Everybody knows it. But it worked in their favor. The whole dynasty built on a lie. You could think of it that way. So, I mean, it was like, It just makes your head explode when you start going over the whole thing. 9 Super Bowls with the same coach and quarterback.
Yeah, when you go over the entire thing, when you go over the whole thing, and you think about the way the game has changed and the world has changed, and, you know, even since you and I first started talking, you came on my TV show, my radio show, how much has changed. I'm listening to you right now, and you've lost nothing, my friend. You are on it. You are on your game. I can tell you still love doing this. You still have a passion for it. As you look back over your time in the media, and the media is so different right now than when you broke in or even 10 years ago, what was your favorite time in the business for when you were working it and just really killing it? What was your favorite era to work in?
I mean, I think that early in the century, the 2003-04 Red Sox story, you know, that was kind of still had the old days with newspapers were flush with cash and big circulations, and it mattered making deadline and people reading the paper. And we still had tremendous storylines, which was the Red Sox 86-year curse and all the whole Aaron Boone thing and coming back the way they did from 3-0 against the Yanks. That was the height of the Red Sox story. But, you know, even in our town, football is just so much bigger now. And we got to see, we lived the high renaissance here in Boston in this century. So I'm not as much of a fan of the media now and social media and, you know, people's attention spans and some of the, you know, just the nasty stuff that's out there. So some of what's, but I don't bay at the moon about it. I mean, we got to do it during the best times. But to me, that there was kind of that overlap from the 20th century to the 21st century when we still had the best of the old, and we had this emergence of all this winning, you know, 12 duck boat parades in our town in this century.
Dan Shaughnessy joins me for another couple of moments. We're getting caught up. So, Dan, what do you think is going through Theo Epstein's mind right now? Like, he's a legend. He's an icon. He brought that world championship to Boston. He went to Chicago. He did it again. And then the bottom has just fallen out. What do you think is going through his mind right now?
Yeah, he's an impatient guy and a really smart guy, I'm sure. I mean, his legacy is carved out, like you say. He's in the Hall of Fame after he retires. He's still very young. I could see him going into the political route at some point, but he's got stuff to do in baseball. I just don't know how it plays out. I think someday, Jim, he'll end up back in Boston. Probably not under this ownership, but his parents are still here. His brother's here at the high school in Brookline, and he's of here. And I think when his kids get a little older, it wouldn't surprise me if he comes back here as either, you know, part owner or takes over the deal again here, but there'd probably have to be some changes. But I envision that day sometime before we're all dead.
Hey, Dan, finally, in terms of the coronavirus, like, you and I are in the business of talking sports, and there really is not a whole lot to talk about right now, but, I mean, let's be realistic and let's be real about what's really important. Would you like to see Major League Baseball or the NBA try and put people in a biosphere or a bubble and get this thing going, or should we just lay out and let it take its course and not be reckless about this, not rush back into anything at all?
I mean, there's so, you know, so much out there that we unknown. But I guess if there's going to be exposure and having the thing come back and people getting sick again, then you don't want to take those chances. I would like the programming. I'd like something to talk about. I'd like to watch games. But I understand the risk of that. The baseball thing felt like a trial balloon that they just tossed out there, and it kind of got punctured pretty quickly all around. It's hard to envision that scenario. But I understand the sentiment for it. I mean, we're trying to fill up the paper every day, and you got your show, and And we can only keep watching, you know, the thriller in Manila so many times.
So, Dan, if you've got 11 in your house and it's a total bleep show, do you have anywhere to go? I mean, do you go out back? Is there an office for you to go to? If you need to blow off a little bit of steam and you got to go somewhere, where do you go?
I have a hoop in my driveway so I can go out and, you know, lower it to 8 feet and throw down some dunks. And I can walk the dogs. I do have a home office, and they're good about that. So we're all doing the best we can. And again, just staying healthy. If you're healthy, you got it all. And I don't take that for granted.
100%. If you're healthy, you got it all. He is a sports columnist for the Boston Globe. He joined that paper in 1981. The author of countless books. He was a legend on our TV show, JRIB. Good friend of the program. Dan, stay safe, stay healthy. And my friend, it is so good to get caught up with you. And great to have you back in the jungle, Dan.
I miss you, pal. Nice talking to you, Jim.
I miss you too, Dan. You are the best. I love Dan Shaughnessy. And if any of you go back, that was nice, man. That was so great. If any of you go back to JRIB, you know what I'm talking about when I say JRIB legend. I don't throw that around lightly. He was a JRIB legend. Everybody who worked on that TV show, the entire staff, we all loved Dan Shaughnessy. Loved it when he came into L.A., loved it when he came into town. See, back when I did that show for ESPN, we'd have those panelists in, and when they came in from out of town, they stayed for the entire week. Guys like Dan Shaughnessy. Also, a number of guys come to mind, which I want to reference in a minute. But they would stay for an entire week. So we get caught up. Good times. All right, so the second hour is wide open. We talked about his Rona routine. I want to get into the Rona routines and more. The snake streak. Is it two now? That's coming up as well. Stay tuned.